I can't help but wish on nights like this that we were all right down here together. We don't have anything against you folks way out over there, but I remember when we were all here together, and we could just about all get here, get in this building before it was renovated on nights like this. And it was always good and pleasant to be together. I'm just hoping that you are enjoying your Christianity and that you're enjoying each other and that we're enjoying one another as we should. The extra amount of warmth and congeniality that characterizes Christians who genuinely love each other, that extra amount of it that's shown in an assembly is literally the power that charges my battery. And I hope and pray that we're giving that to each other. And as we dismiss, there's a moment there where each one of us turns and is in need of someone's particular interest. And there's a moment when we ought to be, in turn, interested in filling another person's need. And if we can just turn and touch and show our love and concern for one another, it's this sort of togetherness that the world misses and they don't have, but we have it, and I thank God for it, and I hope we'll express it. Two or three years ago, I listened in an elders' meeting as Brother J.L. Dykes made a very astute observation and made a very eloquent and impassioned plea concerning what he felt to be a danger that was inherent within our present educational system here in this congregation. The danger that he saw was that of continually feeding the student without giving the student opportunity to utilize that learning through exercise. And I thought it was a magnificent observation and a very powerful plea that that elder of ours made. And he said there is an abundance of information being given our students, but there's not always an ample opportunity to apply that learning through participation. And he says we often come in Bible classes and we sit and we learn and we learn and we learn, and yet we don't ever really get the opportunity to go out and apply it. And Brother Dykes, I think it's excellent, and I hope you don't object to my telling it. He said, why not someday in our classes when we come together to meet, why not have then a program outlined for that hour where we just simply disband under supervision and go out and start applying some of this in the community immediately, right during that hour, as a part of our learning process. And I thought that was profound. And I guess the reason why it struck me so was that one of the first observations that I had in coming into this community and among you was this very simple illustration. I saw what I thought was a picture of a turkey standing at a stake with his leg tied to the stake, and people just shoveling stuff down his throat, you know, just feeding him everything imaginable, and he's just getting fatter and fatter and fatter, but he's tied to that stake. He never was given the opportunity to really get out and exercise. And I had this impression, especially as it related to our academy students, and I see it as a very dangerous thing, this thing of feeding people to the point that they become gorged. You'll know what we mean the next few days. You're going to be feeding yourselves, literally, and you're going to be eating ball custard and eating coconut cake. And did you ever eat ball custard and coconut cake until finally there was one more bite on the plate and you said, oh, that's enough, I can't go anymore, that's it? And had you eaten that other bite, you know what would have happened? Come very close to losing everything you've eaten. I've done that. There's a certain kind of food that does that to me. I forget what it is right now, but There's a certain kind of food that, you know, you eat, and then you just don't eat anymore. That's it. The last bite, I don't care if it's there. It'll have to stay there. I can't eat it. I'll lose what I've already eaten. Now, you take people spiritually. You know what happens many times, especially in a controlled environment such as we have here with students? If you feed them enough of the Word of God, and it's excellent, what better fare could there be? But you feed them enough of that and just keep feeding them and feeding them, you can cause them to be repelled by the very thing that is the very lifeline to them, because they have too much to eat without the necessary application through participation. But thanks to Don England and Ben Berry and Arnold Pilkus and others, I'm sure that I should have mentioned, but I couldn't call them to mind right now. These men, I believe, in our young people, they've begun to implement some of these things, and they've begun to so involve our young people that I believe one of the healthiest situations that exists, I think, in any congregation exists here in this congregation, and I'm thankful to God for that. A similar problem, as I've just mentioned, exists in this very congregation as an assembly. In our congregational efforts to edify, we find ourselves asking us the question, how in the world do you utilize the talents of so many people as we have here in this congregation? How do you utilize our talents? And I find that this is the number one, it's the perennial question that I've found asked over and over and over every year. This involves the elders probably in more concern and with more discussion, or as much as any other subject that I find that's been brought up, other than the subject of West Pleasure congregation that was disbanded a few last year or so. That was the number one involvement for years. I don't think we ever went to a single elders meeting but what West Pleasure Street and what to do about it was the subject. But that's been, I think, handled in a very wise way. Now, one of the things also that's taking precedence is this thing about how to utilize the talents of the members. I think among our first responsibility is how to serve the needs, the diversified needs of some 2,000 students who come as a part of this congregation. I believe you've accepted that as your challenge. And how to go about it, though, we've not been able to get a handle on it. We've tried everything imaginable. We've ransacked our minds. We've turned over thoughts. We've not left a single rock unturned on how to really get the job done, but we can't seem to get a handle on it. It seems like that they're always out of pocket. You invite three or four to your home, or 30 or 40, and only one or two show up. They're not all that responsible sometimes when they're in their college years, and they don't know, you know. But you've cooked up 4 gallons of goulash, and then you've got one child that comes, and the husband ends up eating goulash for 4 months. That sort of thing. We just haven't quite been able to get our handle on the thing. Thanks to Terry Smith, I think we're getting it. That boy is doing some good thinking, and I'm thankful for him. Every way that he turns, I'm confident that it's a wise choice that you made when you brought that young man here to work among us. He's helping implement some of these things. I want to give you an opportunity to consider service in the next few weeks. The workshop that we're planning, the family workshop as it's called, that's a misnomer really. Terry had in mind that it was the church family, God's family. It was a workshop to help bring the old people and the young people and the resident people and the transient people, if you want to call the students that, to bring us all together in a functioning unit. The two sentences here that I want to mention and draw a lesson from it, and then I want to show us how we can apply ourselves to this good work. The first sentence, if you have the brochure, some of you do, not all of you will, I think, we didn't have that many, but if you have the brochure, the very first sentence that's in the statement of purpose, the church is described in the New Testament as the family of God. The reference given here is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and also Ephesians 2 is the place where the family of God, or the church, is described as the family. Listen to this statement. So then you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the family of God, or the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. that description of the church as the family of God, what do you think about when you think of the word family? What is the major quality when you think of the term family? I think the major thought in the expression family would be identity. That's the major thought. You're no more strangers or sojourners, but you're members of a family. You have now, at last, identity. And you know that's one of the most important things in the world for a person's happiness, is to be identifiable or to feel have a sense of identity. And I think that really we know who we are. I believe if you were to ask this congregation as a whole, do you know who you are? I think we would know that. We've been talking about the church recently and identifying it and getting it some kind of a nomen or a name. And I think we know who we are as far as our identity. And it's essential. But the second sentence pictures something else that is also essential to our well-being that maybe we're not as well acquainted with. He says also in the Ephesian letter, Paul speaks of the manifold wisdom of God coming from the church and how the power of God flows through the body of Christ. When you think of the term body, what's the principal primary characteristic or quality that you come upon when you think about the body? It's not identity. What do you think would be the principal concept that's attached to the idea of the body? That's one, unity, and in another sense, what? It's not unity for no purpose. It's unity, it's unified what? Direction or function, unified function. Unity is definitely, and I've got here, that when we think of the body, we think about unified function. Not just function, pell-mell, but unified function. But not just unity in the sense of being, well, a dead man's body, you know, is unified, it's all together, but that's not it. It's a living body in the sense that there's unified function. And I'm not so sure that we really understand what this implies. Who we are, yes. But what we're doing, I don't know whether we know that or not. Now, I believe that in a person's well-being, there are two things necessary for his well-being. One of these is identity. The other of these is function. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them each other. He gave them put it in the form of a family setting, and they knew their identity in the sense of they had an identity with each other. They had an identity with God. But he also gave them a job to do. He told Adam, get this thing clean, you know, keep it tended. Tend this garden. Gave him some work to do. And I'm confident that today in our society in America, two of the major problems that we've got in the world today in America is that people today don't have any real family identity. We're so transient, we have no roots. Our public school system now has about been destroyed because the busing issue has completely disrupted our local school concept. So we don't really have any identity family-wise. Parents don't live near their grandparents anymore. Our children don't live near their grandparents. Everybody's all over the country, and some people never, ever even see their grandparents. Who was that I was talking with the other day? And I asked this man, this boy, how his mother was, and all right. And I said, where are your mother's people? I said, where is your grandmother? He said, you know, I don't know. I said, well, man, when did you see has your mother ever been visited by her mother? He said, my mother has a stepmother. And this boy was some 16 or 17 years old. I said, well, when did you first meet her? Oh, he said, a couple of years ago, she came to see us. And I thought, well, how tragic that there's no more sense of identity with our mothers and fathers or our grandmothers and grandfathers than that. But that's one thing that's plaguing us. And a second thing is plaguing us, not only identity, But this thing of just plain old downright work. You know, if I had to get up every day not knowing really who I was and then not having anything to do that was definite and constructive that day, I think I'd go out and look for a brick to throw through somebody's window too. And I don't think I'd take a bath either. I believe that these are two very vital aspects of our existence as human beings. God filled it for Adam and Eve in the garden, and I'm confident that he wants it to be filled today in the church. I think we know one of these, our identity. We're no longer strangers and sojourners. We're fellow citizens of the saints. Man, that's powerful. But what are you doing here? What are we doing here? Our function is something that perhaps is left a bit cloudy. That's why I preached the series on 2 Corinthians, trying to define for us the nature of our ministry. What is it that we're doing? And in reference to that, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I want to apply that Brother Dykes suggested that we do. I know you get perhaps filled to the overflow with instruction and information. Maybe that's too high an estimate of my preaching. But I suspect that, and sometimes you may think, well, I wish he would tell us something. You talk a lot, but tell us something. But I think probably you get enough from the pulpit that you think, well, let's do something about it. Tell me how to put it into practice. Like the little boy and his grandmother, he went to church with her, and she, after about 2 hours at this country church, she just was just near ecstasy. She said, I'm just so full. He said, yeah, I've had a belly full too. Sometimes I think maybe you feel like, yeah, I've had a belly full. Tell me how to put it into practice. All right, I'm going to tell you tonight. If you've got this brochure, there are several things that are going to be necessary in the next few days. We need you desperately. I say we need you. We all need us all to be involved. And I'm going to mention these very practically and very briefly. Number one, on Sunday, January the 4th, there's going to be a potluck dinner for the whole congregation. Now, I don't know how many are going to stay. We're going to knock this wall out over here. We're going to just push the door back. It's on an automatic thing. And we're going to have all the food in there. The elders have approved this. And we're going to have the food in there. And it's going to be a congregation-wide potluck dinner. The luck won't be so much in the pot as to where to sit down to eat it. That's going to be, and we're going to eat it all through this building, I think. But now that's going to require your being here on that day, and I'm sure that most of us will be on the January the 4th for this potluck dinner. But now a lot of kids are going to be back in here. We're going to hope to have about 200 kids who are back from last semester, but we're going to also have about 95 new students who are going to be coming in. We'll talk about that. That night at 7 o'clock, there's to be a student mixer in the fellowship hall welcoming these 95 or 100 new students. But the fellowship committee is going to be in charge of that, and they're taking care of that, just cookies and something to drink. We're going to have it here in this place where we welcome all these new students into this body of people here, get them plugged in. The main thing that you're responsible for, if you want to have a part in doing something that's really definite, is to be here on Sunday morning and have a part in this potluck dinner. Now, those of you who are new families, I'm urging you to use this as your entrance into the work of the church here. Here's an opportunity for you. That's one thing, the potluck dinner on Sunday, January the 4th. But then there's something happening the next day at 11:15. At 11:15 in the morning, on Monday morning, January the 5th, there's going to be a small groups meeting of these 200 or so students, and over 100 of them have already definitely signed up, and then they're going to be on these other 95 that are coming in that we're hoping that will have a part, and then several more. There are going to be more than 200 here. We need, right now, for that event, we need 25 couples who are resident members of this congregation, 25 couples, for this reason. They're dividing into groups of 8 students each, with one resident couple for each 8 students. That's going to mean there'll be 25 groups of people meeting in this place. And those of you who are resident older members are being given an opportunity to serve as an anchor point for these 8 students who are going to be given you that day. Now, we need 25 students, and I've got a pad here for you to sign up with or sign up on. If you would sign your name to this pad here, it says small groups, 25 couples needed. Now, watch what may have to happen. You may have to take your lunch hour at that hour. But if you can take your lunch hour and bring your wife, and hey, you might just take her to lunch for 15 minutes. You can get a hamburger down in 15 minutes. From 11 to 12, take her to lunch from 11 to 11:15. Come here then at 11:15 and be a part of this great work that's going to be taking place on that day. I hope we can get 25 of you tonight. Now here again, those of you who are new families, please feel free to sign up. This is where you can work. There are a lot of people here who are snowed under with involvement with students already, and you may not choose to be a part of this. Do what you feel like you want to do and how you can serve best. But here's an opportunity for you, and I hope you'll decide, if necessary, to just take your lunch hour and come over and be with us at 11:15. And if you'll help in that way, would you please sign your name to this pad here on the table. On Tuesday at 10:15 a.m., there will be women's groups that will meet, and the ladies' Bible class has agreed to be conducted here in this auditorium by the ladies, and you'll be hosting the girl students who will be involved, and there'll be probably 100 of those girl students or more, and the ladies' Bible class have agreed to do that. There will be also a men's group, and there'll be a panel of elders who will be serving that group of men, and there'll probably be 100 young men, and there'll be a panel of elders consisting of 4 men among our eldership that will serve to answer questions, to give them a concept of what the eldership and its relationship to the body is. That'll take place at 10:15 on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday night at 5:30, there's going to be a banquet. And this says hosted and served by students. Isn't that lovely of them to do that? But the next statement says potluck supported by resident members. So what they're going to do is, you're going to bring the food and they're going to serve it. Now, that doesn't quite fit right, but they don't really have any access to any other way of doing it. But we're suggesting that it be done like this, that it be handled through the zones. The elders are recommending that this be handled through the zones. And we're recommending it in this way, that we just simply limit it to sandwiches, potato chips, and drinks. And we're asking that zones 1 through 5 bring the sandwiches. Zones 1 through 5. That zones 6, 7, and 8 bring the potato chips. And that zones 9 and 10 be responsible for the drinks. You reckon we can do that? Now, I thought probably to save a stampede, we would just have the group leaders of those zones, or the zone leaders rather, the zone leaders come up and sign your name. The first 5 zones, your leaders, if you will, come sign up for those sandwiches, and the zones 6, 7, and 8 send your leaders up here to sign up for the potato chips, and then groups 9 and 10 send your zone leaders to sign up. Otherwise, I'm afraid there'd be such a bottleneck here, we wouldn't get it all done tonight. But would you either send your leader, your group leader, or your assistant leader? I think they've even got some assistant leaders. Would you make sure, if you're an assistant zone leader or a zone leader, make sure that your name is on this pad tonight? Would you volunteer to do that? Now, what we're doing on this Tuesday night is providing a banquet sort of an arrangement where we can then, at the end of this 3-day get-together, we can pull it all together, and everybody in the congregation that possibly can and wants to be a part of this Tuesday night banquet. Terry's got some things planned that are going to be interesting. He's so vibrant and full of faith, and I wish you could be around him more. But he's got some things planned that night. We're going to have an elder also at the end of the thing give us a charge. Brother Ray Muntz is going to be giving us a charge to the whole congregation how to get geared into this work. We're going to be discussing the work for 3 days. We're going to be praying together. We're going to be singing. We're going to be discussing how each member of the body can get plugged into the body to function as a body. And We just need every member of this congregation to be supporting it. And I thought about what to speak on tonight, and I thought, well, the best thing that I think I can do will be to talk to the members about this particular work and urge them to begin right now in this work to put to practice the things that we've been talking about for the last several weeks and months. So tonight, I'm urging you to do that. If you would like to function as a member of the body in a genuine way, then these opportunities are yours. The 25 couples that are needed to serve, just simply to sit in a small group, then the 10 zones that are needed, and then the potluck lunch on Sunday to kick this thing off at noontime. I hope you'll have a part in it. This is a sort of an unusual way to spend an hour, but I think probably that it's due. And as we look back over the year, I think there's been sufficient edification and instruction so that we're qualified and equipped and ready to go into something very practical like this is. Are you with me on it? The elders are presenting it. They're providing you this opportunity, and I hope that we'll take advantage of it. And after we're dismissed, you'll be given the opportunity to come up to the front and make your commitment, if you will. Now, tonight, as we draw more and more toward the close of this year, we have a responsibility before the one that made us. I'm more and more impressed by the fact that God made us, and we're going to have to answer to him. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and you want to become a Christian. We want to give you that opportunity. Many of our services are directed toward Christians, as this one has been tonight. There may be someone who, seeing what's going on among the Christians, wants to have a part in it. And if you do, then you'll have to be a part of the body in order to function in the body. But if you come in faith and are willing to turn your life over to Jesus, if you will let yourself then be immersed in water, which is his command, it's the door through which you touch the blood of Christ and are brought into the church, into the kingdom, in faith, if you want to do that tonight, then we offer you that opportunity. But there may be some of us stuck out throughout this vast auditorium who've been looking for a way to get hooked into the body. Here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. And your response really to this message tonight will be to sign up on these things of how you can serve. And I believe that Christianity is just that practical. And in Acts, the 6th chapter, you find that that's exactly what they did. They appointed men. People got together. They began to make their particular personal contribution to the aiding of the saints that were in need. And it was just that practical. And so here tonight, this is our opportunity to put into practice and implement the messages and that we've been hearing and the whole message of the gospel. We offer you that opportunity tonight. Would you respond, whatever may be your need, and will you respond to this need while we stand and sing?